songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, that day when free from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Then adorned in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day.
Amen and good morning, GBF. It's good to see all of you here today. If you're a guest with us today, make yourself at home as you worship the Lord along with us. There is a place in the bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." You'll take a moment and fill that out. Just tear it off and put it in the little wood offering box back there by the double doors that you came through this morning, and that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. Well, this is one of my favorite days. Because I get to have my wife in here with me. I rarely get to have my precious wife in a worship service with me, and so it's an exciting day for me. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you. We have flowers for you, okay? So if you're if you're a mom, please stand up. I got some men that are going to be passing out these pink carnations to you, and We won't make them guess. If you'll stand up, they'll know who to give one to. You can sit down if you have your flower. Some of you people just are so impatient. But we're going to talk about that today, by the way. We're going to talk about patience. Yes. And nobody needs it more than Pastor Chris. Does everybody have a carnation? If you don't, raise your hand. Okay, I think we're good. Gentlemen, thank y'all. Did you get one? Okay. You're just waving. Okay, hello. Nice to see you, Jackie. Glad you're with us this morning. What a sweet lady, right? So again, happy Mother's Day. I want to take a moment and pray for the moms, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and Lord, I thank you for my mom. Boy, like all my friends used to tell my brother and I, we had the ultimate mom growing up. And I thank you for a mother that loved you and that lived that out in front of us every day of our lives. For a mother that loved us and sacrificed for us and took care of us. I thank you and I praise you for her. Such an incredible blessing in my life. I also, Lord, thank you for all the mothers in this room today. And I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would speak to them through your word. And the passage that we're going to be in today is actually a word for all of us, men and women. It's not just for women. But I'm thankful for this special day. And I thank you that you answered my prayers 34 years ago and gave me a wife and an amazing mother to the children, the three kids we have. And I cannot thank you enough for Andrea. And so today, Lord, we just thank you for this special time that we have. And may it be a blessing to these moms, and may it also honor you. And Father, right now, I want to lift up Andrea's brother to you that's in the hospital, her twin brother. And we lift him up to you because you are the creator. You're the healer. You're the great physician. You're the savior. And you're the Lord of all creation. And Lord, you know how sick Chris is. And so we pray for your healing in his life. And we pray that you would give the doctors and nurses divine wisdom and discernment to know exactly how to take care of him and how to treat him. And Lord Jesus, we pray for your perfect will to be done in his life. And it's in your precious name that we gather here today. And that we study your word today, and that we sing your praises today, and that we pray all these things. In Christ's name, amen.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, oh, praise him. Spirit three in one. Oh, praise him. Oh, Son and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To your deliverance, look where I'm standing now. These hands that once were chained, now lifted high in praise. Look where I'm standing now. Look where I'm standing now. I stand on the chain break. Miracle maker, powerful name of Jesus. On the body raising, prodigal saving, powerful name of Jesus. Led by your mighty hand, truly the promised land. Look where I'm standing now. You carried the cross for me. Now I am a child of the King. Look where I'm standing now. Look where I'm standing now. I stand on the chain breaking, miracle making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body raising, prodigal saving, powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah, I'm for me. Hallelujah, I'm for me. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah, I'm for me. Hallelujah, I'm for me. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah, I'm free. I stand on the chain breaking, miracle making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body raising, prodigal saving, powerful name of Jesus. I stand on the chain breaking, miracle making, powerful name of Jesus. On the body raising, prodigal saving, powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Jesus, my Savior, rescued me. Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. He who was before there was life, walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, left his throne to ache as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him. He who dined with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose a criminal's end, paid with blood to settle our debt, buried death as he rose to life. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior.
Thank you for this beautiful morning you've given us. We thank you for our mothers. Thank you for everyone that's here today, and we pray that you bless those that aren't with us. Keep them safe today and draw them to you. Father, I pray that we walk in a spirit of gratitude when we leave here, not just for mothers, but for you, for all that you've done for us. And God, I pray that you will give us ears to hear your message today. It might be Mother's Day, but the words coming from your word are for all of us, Father. All of these things we should take to heart and walk in them. So, Father, give us ears to hear, write these words on our hearts. Give us that conviction we need to walk with you and not in our own strength this week. Father, we thank you for this time that you give us to come here freely and to worship you and sing about you and dive into your word together. I pray that we don't waste it, that we look forward to this time, Father, and that you will wash us with your word, renew us, energize us for the week to come, Father, and help us remain dependent on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Grace. Open your Bibles to Colossians 3, if you would. Now, when I told Andrea I was going to mention her name in the sermon, she wasn't real fired up about it. And so I said, well, and she doesn't want to be put up on stage and look like she's perfect because she knows she's not. And I said, well, here's the manuscript. Take it, read over it, mark out anything you don't want, and then pray about it and bring it back to me. So she brought it back to me, and she said, okay, here it is. And I said, well, what all did you mark out? And she said, I didn't even look at it. I just prayed about it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Seek the Lord first. Amen. Before you do your own thing. And she said, you preach what you feel led to preach. So we're in Colossians chapter 3. And I actually love preaching this passage because I have her name written right here in the column. Because it reminds me of her. And so we're in Colossians chapter 3 this morning. And we're going to look mainly at 12 and 15, but then we're going to jump back to verse 8 for a moment, and then we're going to jump on ahead to 16 and 17, okay? So, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That pretty much says it all right there. Amen. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Being thankful is huge right there. We'll get into that a little bit later. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. That reminds me of Andrea. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that passage reminds me of my wife, and I have her name written in the column. And I'm going to mention her a few times with her permission. I may need that again. I'll leave that out. So not only is it Mother's Day today, but it's also Andrea and I's 34th anniversary. So again, thank you. And I do have her special permission to talk about her a little bit today. And I told her, I said, you can mark out whatever you want, but the sermon won't be the same if you do. And so anyway, you know, they say if you really want to know what someone is like, ask their spouse. Hello. But I was reminded of something this morning. As I had these two precious daughter-in-laws that are texting her, thanking God for her. You want to really find out what somebody's like? Ask their son-in-law. Ask their daughter-in-law. And I would love to read these to you, but I couldn't make it through them, and plus it's private. You want to really find out what someone's like? Ask their son-in-law. Ask their daughter-in-law. Now, as I was contemplating the question, what would the ultimate mom look like? Because as I said in the prayer, my friends used to always tell my brother and I, you guys have the ultimate mom. And so as I was contemplating this question, my thoughts immediately turned to my wife, Andrea. She is the ultimate mom. In fact, she's a lot like my mother, who all of our friends said, your mom, Irvin, is the ultimate mom. But since it's Mother's Day, I also had to let the jury weigh in. So I texted the kids. I texted my three kids, Becky, Jake, and Ryan, and asked, would you say you have the best mom ever? And they all texted me back. But I want to have a little fun with you this morning. So I'm actually going to give you the answers they gave me to the exact same question 5 years ago. little bit more entertaining. So 5 years ago, I texted my three kids, and I said, would you say that you have the best mom ever? And Jake was the first to text back, and he said, is the Pope Catholic? The answer to that is yes, and he's also now an American. Ryan answered, are Baptists bad dancers? And the question is, or the answer is yes, right? And Becky answered, Lord help us all, does a bear poop in the woods? We have a good time at GBF, don't we? But what is it about Andrea that makes her the ultimate mom? And again, she'll tell you that she's not perfect and she's not the ultimate mom. But I'll be the first to tell you, she is one of the most Christ-like women I've ever met in my entire life. And I get it that I'm biased. So what is it about Andrea that's going to get her the ultimate mom and the ultimate wife award in our home? Look back at Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, meaning as a Christ follower, holy and dearly loved, meaning that you now, because of Christ's death and resurrection, have been separated from sin. Because Jesus Christ loved you so dearly, he gave up everything so that you could spend eternity with him. And he loves you so dearly that he gave up. Now, this is important because we live in a world where everybody's claiming their rights. The God of heaven loves you so much, he gave up all of his rights. In fact, he gave up his own life so you could live. So, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, the Bible says, clothe yourselves with, and it names these five characteristics, Christ-like characteristics. And so what it's talking about here, it's like now that you're a Christian, now that you've been saved and you're a Christ follower, it's time to take off the old clothes and get rid of them. Throw them away. Be done with them, the Bible says. And we'll see that here in a minute. And it's time for you to put on these new clothes that we're about to look at here in a few minutes. And the way you do that is you have to change the way you think. You have to be in God's word enough that it begins to change the way you think. Listen to me, because you'll never change what you do and how you act unless you first change the way you think. Therefore, as God's chosen people, Christ followers, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And it's these Christ-like characteristics that describe Andrea Irvin. And as followers of Christ, Paul is saying, this is what we should all look like. In fact, he says we should clothe ourselves to where when people look at us, like you see the clothes I have on, you see these Christ-like characteristics in my life. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put another way, these are the things that God's children should be known for, Paul says. And these are the things Andrea's known for. She's known for these things by her friends. She's known for these things by her coworkers. But most importantly, she's known for these things by her family. Andrea's boss is one of my best friends, a guy named John Hughes. And John's told me several times, Andrea is the one person that brings class to J.W. Hughes. And so I texted him, because it's been a while. I texted him and I said, I want to check in with you. Do you remember ever telling me that Andrea is the one person that brings class to J.W. Hughes? He texted back, that is the absolute truth, Chris. Andrea is one of the kindest people I've ever met. And kindness, by the way, is also expected of men in God's kingdom. Amen? According to the scripture, it's for all of God's chosen people. Now listen to what the book of Proverbs says. I think this is in your notes. A kind-hearted woman gains respect. A kind-hearted woman gains respect. But a ruthless man gains only wealth. And then it says, a kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. So ladies, do you want to gain respect? Do you want to gain the respect of your kids? Do you want to gain the respect of your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your husband? Start being kind, the Bible says, and you'll gain respect. The Bible says, listen to this in Proverbs 25:24, it's better to live in the corner of an attic than in a house shared with a contentious woman. A quarrelsome woman is what the Bible's talking about. So let's look at several ways that God wants you and I to show kindness. We're going to look at five biblical ways that you can become the ultimate mom or the ultimate friend or the ultimate coworker, the ultimate grandmother, even the ultimate dad. Number one, be compassionate. Write that. Be compassionate. Write that in your notes this morning. Be compassionate. The Bible says in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Literally, clothe yourselves with compassion. So if you're going to be the ultimate mom, you must learn, don't miss this. This is gigantic. If you're going to be the ultimate mom, you must learn to tune in to the needs of other people. And my wife is great at this. She shames me at this. In fact, she's aware of the needs of our children way before I am, but she practices it all the time. When one of our kids walks into the house, she mutes the TV. And when she first started doing this, I would ask her, Andrea, why'd you just mute the OU game? And she would say, because Ryan's window is open. And I would say, then shut it, but don't mute the game. But she was so tuned in to our kids that she can immediately tell when the windows of their hearts are open. And to translate for the rest of us cavemen, that means they're ready to talk. They're ready to talk and maybe even possibly ready to listen to you. It means they were ready to open up. And this is critical to having a good relationship with your children. Bottom line, listen to this, don't miss this. People know you really care when you are aware of their needs. When you get over your own needs and you become aware of their needs, then they know you really care about them. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, each of you should not look only to your own interest and protect your own interest and take care of your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Put another way, I need to quit being so self-centered where the whole world's got to revolve around me, and I need to quit thinking about myself and my needs all the time. In fact, don't miss this. Self-centeredness, according to professional counselors, will get you the fast track to disillusionment, despair, and depression. If you're interested in those three things, let the whole little world revolve around you and you're on the fast track to disillusionment, despair, and depression. I love what Roy Hessen says in his book, The Cavalry Road. It's always self who gets irritable. It's always self who is envious. It's always self who gets resentful. It's always self who gets critical. And it's always self who gets worried. It is self who is hard and unyielding in its attitudes towards others. And as long as self is in control, God can do little with us. And the Bible says each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. So number one, learn to be compassionate. Number two, and by the way, let me just say this again. You're going to have to change your thinking. You're going to have to change your focus if you're going to change your actions. Change your focus, you will change your life. Number two, be encouraging. And the key to being an encourager is to be humble. The Bible says in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with humility. And the reason that humility is so important here is because if you're arrogant, you're so busy supporting your own program, you're never going to encourage other people. Think about it. Arrogant people rarely encourage other people because they're so busy supporting their own program. In fact, arrogant people are usually the first to point out your faults and your weaknesses. And they must do these things to stay on top. They must point out your faults and your weaknesses so that they can stay on top, which shows how incredibly insecure they truly are. That's why we have bullies. Amen? What do? Bullies bully because they're living in fear. Bullies bully because they're running scared. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, listen to this, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building others up according to their needs. Here again, you're focused on the needs of the other individual, and then the Bible says, so that it may benefit all who listen. Here's what's interesting about Andrea. She's extremely confident and an extremely secure person, which helps her remain humble and encouraging to other people. So if you want to be the ultimate mom, then learn to be compassionate and learn to be encouraging to other people. And number three, learn to be gentle. Learn to be gentle. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with gentleness. Gentle people are sympathetic people. They have the ability to relate to the emotions of others without trying to fix them. Arrow right through the heart. They have the ability to relate to the emotions of others without trying to fix them. Andrea's told me a million times. He doesn't need you to fix him. She doesn't need you to fix her. Just listen. She just needs to be heard. And sympathetic people, instead of trying to fix you, they offer you understanding and they offer you encouragement. And the Bible says in Proverbs 15:4, gentle words, listen to this, mom and dad, gentle words are a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Put another way, gentle words speak life into your children. Gentle words speak life into your children. Even when you're disciplining them. Gentle words speak life into your children, but harsh words crush their spirit. Did you know that you can speak gentle words even while you're disciplining your child? The discipline is much more effective. Gentle words show them, listen to this, and kids know this. They don't know how to put it in words, but they know it. They see it and they know it because they go outside and go, did you see what my dad just did? Do you see the way my dad just acted? Gentle words show your kids that you are in control of your emotions. Yelling and screaming shows them you lack emotional maturity and you lack emotional stability. Many times, especially with older children, the last thing they need is for you to fix their problem. They just need to be heard. They just want to know that someone understands them without judging them. And my wife's brilliant at this. It amazes me. And I love what the Bible says in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And one of the things I love about Andrea and Becky is my wife and my daughter both have the gift of sharing in the emotions of others. If you're really excited about something, they're going to be right there with you and be really excited about it with you. And if you're down about something, they're going to be right there with you, and they're going to be down with you. They both have this gift of sharing in the emotions of others instead of judging their emotions. In fact, this is one of the things, I was just reading about this morning, this is one of the things that Ronald Reagan was known for, and it's what made him such a popular president, even with the media, some of the media that couldn't stand his policies, genuinely loved him. Ronald Reagan wasn't afraid to express emotion. Weak leaders must always appear in control. You can never be a strong leader if you've always got to have it together and you've always got to appear in control. While strong leaders like Ronald Reagan know how to show emotion. In fact, Jesus Christ was the greatest leader of all time, and the Bible says he wept. The Bible says he cried. Relating to the emotions of other people is critical to your relationship with them. In fact, parents who have great relationships with their children make a constant effort to treat, listen to this, they make a constant effort to treat whatever their kids see as important as very important to them also. The key to your teenager's heart is sympathy. Statements like, and please don't miss this, it's no big deal. Statements like, you'll get over it. Statements like, you don't have anything to be afraid of, are all statements that tell your child that you have no clue what they're going through. Those statements tell your child that you have no clue how they feel. In fact, you just invalidated their feelings. So be careful and be compassionate and be encouraging and be gentle. And number four, be kind. The Bible says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with kindness. Now, I want you to notice something with me, if you will. Let me see if I can get back in here real quick. Flip back to verse 8 in your Bibles or on your phone, whatever you're using. Paul's saying, I want you to take off these old clothes, and I want you to start thinking and acting differently. I want you to put on these new clothes, but look at the old clothes that he says you must take off. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. And do not lie to each other, for you have taken off the old self with its old practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 12, Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with kindness. And I want to talk for a moment about a specific kind of kindness, a specific class of kindness, if you will. And again, my wife is really good at this. I want to talk about straightforward kindness. And so this begs the question, listen to this very closely. When you are truthful with other people, do they know it's coming from a heart that loves them? When you're being truthful with other people, do they know that it's coming from a heart that loves them? Or when you're finished with them, do they feel like a doormat that just got stomped on? That's a very important question that we need to ask as parents. I remember listening to an interview with Garth Brooks one time, and he said, you know, I love Keith Urban. He's one of those people that I could hang out with 24/7. Keith is, he's always going to be truthful with you, but he does it in such a loving way that you always know it's because he cares. Wow. We all need a Keith Urban in our lives, amen? Every one of us needs a Keith Urban in our lives, right? Listen, people who can sit us down and be honest with us because they know we're headed down the wrong path, we need people who can do that with us, who can tell us the truth, tell us what's in our best interest, and who can correct us with truth and love. Amen? Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:6. You can trust a friend who corrects you, but kisses from an enemy are nothing but lies. Bottom line, I love this. Rick Warren said this one time. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. And in his book, The Anger Trap, Dr. Les Carter explains, a person's otherwise legitimate message can be totally lost when communicated in harsh ways. By the way, the pastor, 25-year pastor at McKinney Bible Church in Fort Worth, gave me this book and said, and I agree 100%, I've read it twice, I'm reading it again, every person needs to read The Anger Trap. Every human being, you're in here, every human being needs to read The Anger Trap. All right. The Bible teaches in Proverbs 11:17, listen to this, your own soul is nourished when you're kind, yet your own soul is destroyed when you're cruel. Think about that for a minute. Your own soul is nourished when you're kind, but when you're cruel, you're destroying yourself. You're messing your own life up. So be compassionate as God's chosen people, dearly loved and holy. Put on the clothes of compassion and encouragement. Be gentle, be kind, and number five, last but not least, be patient. When dealing with others, always take the time to pray and seek the Lord before answering or acting. When dealing with other people, always take the time to pray and seek the Lord before answering or acting. Listen, if you will learn to wait on the Lord, it will be a game changer for you and your relationships. It'll be a game changer for you and your relationships. In fact, if you will pray and read your Bible for at least 2 days before you react to a situation or before you react to another person, you will save yourself from unwise mistakes and injured relationships almost every time. So learn to wait and give the Holy Spirit time to bring your spirit in line with God's word before you act and before you answer, and you will be so thankful and so much better off. Learn to wait on God as you pray, listen to this, for a win-win situation. A lot of people want to win, and they want you to lose. Dude, when you're in a relationship and the other person loses, you just lost. The only way for you to win, if you're in a relationship, is for both people to win. So back off. Step back and learn to pray for a win-win situation. In fact, this is one of the 7 habits of highly effective people written by Stephen Covey. Henry Nouwen writes, whenever there's a lack of clarity of an ambiguous circumstance, it's time to wait. It's time to wait. And I know what he's talking about here, so I inserted it in here. It's time to wait, pray, and get in the Word. That's what he calls active waiting. And active waiting is essential, he says, to the spiritual life. And again, Dr. Les Carter in his book, The Anger Trap, says, pull back mentally for the purpose of deciding that you can be civil even when others are not. But when you use your anger to demean others, to beat them down, it's a clear indication that you're not attuned to human dignity. But if you choose to address an anger-provoking situation with a spirit of fairness, you prove that you have enough awareness of your own self-worth that you don't need to build your worth at another person's expense. And those that do are bullies. That's what bullies do. They're so insecure that they have to build their own worth at another person's expense. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5. See that no one No one repays evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all the people. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You will never overcome evil with more evil. You just perpetuate more evil when you answer evil with evil. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself caught up in what professional counselors call the cycle of evil. And it'll start spinning out of control, and you won't even know how to get out of it. And that's why the Bible says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the only way you can overcome evil is with good. And if you're not careful, and you continue this kind of behavior where you're always having to get back at someone, it won't be long and you'll find yourself spinning out of control. And you'll be caught up in the cycle of evil with other people. And so choose to stop it. You stop it by returning evil with good. The Bible says in Psalm 37, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. The Bible goes on to say in Psalm 39, 7 through 9, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You can't get me in a hurry when I'm dealing with conflict. I'm going to take my time and I'm going to seek the Lord. You can't rush me. You can't get me in a hurry because I know it messes up relationships and it gets me out of God's will. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from your anger and forsake your wrath. Forsake your vengeance. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. And then verse 13 in Colossians 3. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Now think about that for a minute. God hasn't forgiven you because you deserve it. Amen? He hadn't forgiven me because I deserve it, I guarantee you. I wouldn't be here today if I got what I deserved. He's forgiven you because he's loving and because he's merciful and because he's gracious. And he expects you and I to do the same thing for other people. As a Christian, you're called to forgive just as you have been forgiven. You've been called to show the same love and the same grace to others that you've received from God. Now look at verses 14 and 15, and we're going to close with these two verses. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Happy Mother's Day. Will you join me in prayer? Now, you may be here today, or you may be watching today, and you may want to say a prayer somewhat like this. Again, these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord, I really need to learn to be more compassionate. Would you teach me to tune in to the needs of other people and quit being so self-centered? Lord, I really need to learn to be more encouraging. I'm too quick to judge, and I'm too quick to make fun of people. I'm too quick to point out people's weaknesses, and I'm too quick to point out their shortcomings. Would you teach me to be an encourager? I want people to know that I'm on their team and not always picking on them. And Lord, teach me to be gentle. Help me to understand that it doesn't matter how right I am, if I can't communicate it in a right way, the message is lost. And Lord, teach me to take every opportunity to be kind. Every one of us has our own struggles we're dealing with every day, and forgive me when I add to somebody else's struggles by being too harsh with them. Teach me to be kind to someone every day. And finally, Lord, teach me to be patient and forgiving. I'm too quick to correct people. I'm too quick to put people in their place. I have my own issues. I have my own issues I need to worry about instead of correcting everyone else. So please teach me to be patient and then teach me to forgive. There are people in my life that I've held bitterness and resentment towards for years. Lord, help me to let it go. Help me to let it go so that I can move on with my life. And help me to understand that my bitterness and my resentment is hurting me and it's hurting those who are closest to me. Help me to forgive like you've forgiven me so I can move on with my life and live in freedom and bring honor and glory to your name and to your kingdom. I pray these things in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if I can help you today with any of these things or pray with you today for any of these things, you can join me at the front. I'll be right down here on the front row worshiping as we sing our closing song. You can mark it in the bulletin. Tear it off and put it in the offering box. You can even email me. Our church email is in the bulletin. Nobody sees that email but me. You can email me. If I can help you with any of these things, be sure and let me know because I would love to. It would be an honor. All right, Matt, would you lead us in our closing song, please, sir?
Lord, you search me. How you know me. You perceive my every thought from afar. In my wandering, still you love me. King of glory, you pursue my anxious heart. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truthfulness, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Lord, you search me. How you know me. You perceive my every thought from afar. In all my wandering, still you love me. King of glory, you pursue my anxious heart. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truthfulness, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. And where can I go from your spear? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? Where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go. Where can I go from your spear? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? Where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truthfulness, Even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? Where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go.
Amen. Be seated for just a moment. I want to remind you of a few things real quick. Senior adult lunch is coming up at Grumps in Stephenville. And then, let's see. Oh, yeah, man. Is that this Wednesday, Matt? Wow. This Wednesday, men and teenagers, we're going to be setting up cook-off parking, state cook-off parking, like we do every state cook-off Wednesday, the Wednesday before state cook-off, right? So when you show up this Wednesday, show up with trucks, T-post, what do you call those, drivers, that kind of stuff, because we're going to need your help, all right? We'll have the other stuff. And you might want to write your name on your T-post driver, because I get a new one every year that somebody leaves and I never can find it. I've got about four of them things at my house. But anyway, that's something that we can really do and help get set up, because we set up all around, man, all over the place around HICO to park cars for the state cook-off. So if you want to help with that, we'd love to have your help. And then Graduate Sunday is next Sunday, and then that night is baccalaureate at the HICO Elementary School for all the graduating seniors. All right, I love y'all. I love you, ma'am. You survived. Okay. Well, thank you, precious girl, for letting me do that. And happy Mother's Day. Happy anniversary. I love you. All right, I've embarrassed her now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for just being able to gather together as family and celebrate our moms. And Father, we thank you for all your blessings. I thank you for the unity that this church has had for 15 years. For 15 years, this church has had amazing unity. And in order for that to happen, we have to be willing to let some things go. In order to maintain that kind of unity, we have to be willing to get over some things. We have to be willing to push past some things with forgiveness and grace. And I thank you for all the people in the church that do just that. And we know that without unity, we have no witness. Jesus prayed that in John 17. And so we thank you, and we pray for that, and we pray for your protection. And Lord, we just thank you for allowing us the privilege of coming here and worshiping you today. In Jesus' name, amen.